Give my man a big hand clap this morning.
Wow, it's so good to see you again. My name's Mike, and my lovely wife, Christy. We moved to Clarksville in 04. We'd actually lived here one time before. That's when Lance talked about it. I coached at Clarksville High and Northeast High. And then God got a hold of my life. Pretty incredible story. And we do have five amazing kids. Our oldest daughter, Grace, she's down in our Murfreesboro church. And then Molly is at Austin Peay. I'm just going to go through the order. And then Nathan, Abby, and Caden. So four of them are here with us today. So it's awesome to be here with spiritual family. Is James still here or did James leave? My gosh, I was going to just encourage him with a word. You know, Pastor Lance, you can just tell him, man, that I saw him standing in front of an incredible wall. I know I've prayed for him before. I saw this massive wall, and it was a wall that had dumbfounded him and paralyzed him, and he thought, how am I going to get over this wall? How am I going to get around this wall? And I really sense God saying, I'm going to break you through this wall. And he and his wife, Janine, right? Janae, have really, you know, God has really broken them through something significant. And I believe there is an anointing on him, a breakthrough anointing on him, that God is going to continue to grow him in this worship ministry preaching gift that he has. So tell him to get ready. There's more. Katie, I just wanted to tell you, you know, you're prophetic. You hear God's voice. He speaks clearly to you, but I just saw you like God, like an arrow that God was sharpening. He's going to make it sharper and sharper. The words of wisdom, the words of knowledge. You're not going to be a generalist. You're going to be like a specialist, like a surgeon. And God is continuing to sharpen, obviously, you and Sergio, but he wanted me to encourage you because he knows I always encourage Sergio. But he said you needed to hear that. And don't worry. What to say, open your mouth, and he'll feel it. And it'll be sharp. It's going to be sharp. Sharp, girl. And one more. I don't know this couple over here. A lady right here with the first responder. You all right here. Y'all are an amazing. I'm guessing you're a first responder. Okay. I was hoping you were. I don't know how long you've been coming here. I don't know your names, but y'all are an amazing family. You're a great family. What's your daughter's name? Haley. Am I saying that right? It's incredible. When you're worshiping, I saw you like take almost the shape of an anchor. And an anchor means something to you. I don't know what, but you are anchored in Christ that goes beyond your parents, that goes beyond your grandparents. And in a lot of ways, you're a forerunner in these things. And don't let the enemy come to you and lie to you and say, hey, you're only a kid. You're only this. Don't let that passion die. Just let that passion, let the fire of God continue to grow in you. He wants to use you. He wants to show you things. He's opening doors to you. You're super gifted and talented, and he's going to continue to maximize those talents. And there's travel in your future. Don't let anything hold you back. God's hand is on you. Amen? And just over this awesome couple, I know that probably encourages you more than anything. Are you pregnant? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. This pregnancy has been a little challenging, and it's not necessarily been as much physically as it's kind of wore on you emotionally, and there's been a lot of anxiety and just things that you probably haven't even communicated. God knows. And his hand is on you. And he's going to bring this world changer out of the womb. Everything's going to be all right. Peace be still. God loves you, and he's so proud of you all. And he's just saying there is more. The best is yet to come for this family. Amen? God bless you. Sorry, Pastor Lance. Just had to be faithful to share those things. Obviously, I'm opening a series on Colossians. And, you know, Colossians is in the Bible. This is the Bible. They still make these, and I encourage you to have one. And if you have a Bible or brought it with you, you can open it. If you have your phone or device, I encourage you to get out. We're going to pretty much camp out in Colossians chapter 1. Of course, we'll have it on the screen for you, but that's cheating. This intro video that you probably may or may not have paid attention to was really good because it basically sets the stage for what is happening in this book. And so in this book, or actually letter, Paul is writing, it's interesting, he's never even been to Colossae. He's never been there. But Paul, amazing man of God, was preaching in Ephesus, and there was this, and this is the amazing thing. This is how much God loves us. It only takes one. He was preaching. He was just being faithful to do what God called him to do. He was preaching Jesus, and this young unbeliever heard the gospel, was transformed. His name is Epaphras, and he goes back to his small town, Colossae. When you are impacted with the gospel that transforms your heart, you cannot not love God. You cannot not tell people about what God has done in your life. Maybe some of you are, that don't talk about God and how great he is that much, you might need to remember how low you were when he rescued you. How without his grace and without his mercy, where would you be this morning? So he gets impacted with the gospel. He's not a preacher. I mean, I don't know what he was doing. He was probably a millennial playing video games, and he showed up and heard Paul preach. Sorry, millennials. And got set on fire for God, went back to his hometown, and now we have a church plant here in what becomes the church known as the Colossians. That's why we believe in preaching the gospel. That's why at Bethel Community Church, in every nation, we believe God that he's taking us to every nation in our generation to preach the gospel and to plant churches. Why? Because if one person can get on fire for God and go to a city and plant a church, then there's others that are going to get impacted and be touched. I mean, the whole reason you guys are here this morning is not because I was a great pastor, church planter, or Pastor Lance and I knew what the heck we were doing. We didn't know a thing. We just drove around the city and ate a lot of Subway, prayed, and God showed up. Maybe God is speaking to you. Haley, maybe God is speaking to you. That's why we preach this good news. Because more than the life we're living now, more than the things we're going through now, it's about his kingdom coming to this earth. And while we're going to be earth, we're going to be faithful to live for him, to preach for him, and see his kingdom extended. Amen? And so, I like you already. Talk to me all you want. Thank you, sir. God bless you. That's my kind of parishioner right there, Pastor Lance. You know, the crazy thing is Paul's in prison, and then there's one disciple that was on fire for God and was so great, he's scared to death. He doesn't know what to do. And the church all of a sudden had all this false teaching. It was under persecution. It was challenged by the government. You had all this crazy, you know, paganism and different people trying to mix up whatever they could and call it worship and all that. Sounds a little bit like Bethel. Anyway, before, back in the day. And so he goes all the way to Rome to visit Paul and says, "Champ, help. I'm lost. I don't know what to do." And so Paul had never been there, but then he pens this letter saying, man, there's false teaching. There's this. He said, I'm going to write a letter like a father because I love them, because they're God's children, and I'm going to encourage them. And man, I thank you that, man, even though this is obviously a letter written by Paul to a specific church at a specific time for a specific reason, because it's in this canonized Bible, the Word of God, it is a universal word, and today it is for us. Just like every day, it is for us. What can we glean? What can we take from this Word? And basically he says, with all the challenges you're facing, here's the essence of it. Properly thinking about God is the most important thing in the world. Properly thinking about God is more important than anything else you do. It transforms everything else. A.W. Tozier said this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Now, that's so simple, it just went over several of your heads, most of them. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about us. Why? It changes everything. I love to say, the person who comes to a right belief about God is relieved of 10,000 temporal problems. Man, we have challenges every day. Stuff we're going through. But if you'll think right about God, it will solve most of them. Paul knew that, and that's why he wrote this letter. That's why he's right. He's saying, the main thing I can give them is to get right thinking about God. And man, right in the first chapter, if you're following along, there's this greeting. He's bragging on them because actually there was a testimony that came out of this little church that they were already impacting other cities and other places. And then he says, this is how I pray for you. And we'll get to that in a second. And then he says, but this is why. And I can't leave this out. I wanted to kind of preach on something else, but I can't leave this out because this is why. Look what he says in Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image, Jesus. Jesus. Right thinking about Jesus changes everything. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Meaning, before creation was, he is. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And as anxious as we are about this upcoming election and all that, man, I'm just writing in Jesus. Above all authority and all power is Jesus. Amen? And he is the head of the body, us, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That's who Jesus is. And how we think about that changes everything. Bottom line, Jesus is Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's Lord over all creation, over the invisible realm. He has redeemed his people, enabling them to participate in his death, resurrection, and fullness. This life is temporary. We get to experience it in a foretaste, like going by and trying mama's soup, but we haven't had dinner yet. We have dinner when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, there is no sickness. There is no sin. There is no pain. There is no challenges. That's what he's saying, that we have been given not only the gospel to live in this life, but for a future life, we have an inheritance that is unstained and unfaded. Though our temporal bodies may be wearing out a little bit, we will be raised and get a new body. Man, if that don't light you fire, something's wrong. Well, Pastor Lance was referring to my latest adversity. I came to the point where I realized that I wasn't probably my own best physical trainer. It took me a lot of years of personal deception to realize I was real good at eating, but I wasn't really good at doing something about it. Now, as he said, I was a coach. I mean, I worked kids out. I understood weights. I understood anatomy and physiology, and I understood, like, I could coach them. But I had to come to a point where I realized that whatever I was doing wasn't working. I wasn't more fit. I wasn't stronger. I wasn't more healthy. Even though I thought I knew how to do that, I wasn't accomplishing that in my life. So I heard about this place called Orange Theory, Orange Theory Fitness. Anybody know about it? Oh, my goodness. I realized that even coaches needed a coach. Everyone needs a coach. And I would encourage you here, whether you were born again under the pew at 5 years old or whether it was last week, to approach the gospel and the word of God in a way where you say, I need a coach. I need a coach because a coach knows what's best for me. A coach knows how to best accomplish it. And a coach, and a coach knows how to help us in our weaknesses. This has spiritual implications in our lives. How many of you know you need a spiritual coach in your life? And that's why here at this church we believe in small groups and discipleship and community, because we all need a coach in our life. So we have to be able to approach this word saying, I don't know everything. Yeah, I've read Colossians before. Yeah, that sounds a little familiar. Well, guess what? Familiarity is the number one enemy to your spiritual growth. Let me say that again. Familiarity. Oh, I've heard that before. See, I'd heard a lot about fitness until they put me on a treadmill and a rowing machine and made me do things I've never done before. They tortured me. And I keep going back. And I just show up and say, I'm turning my brain off. Just tell me what to do. 25 years of marriage has got me prepared for that. Finally. So we come to this text and we see Paul had never been there, but he said, let me be a father. Let me be a coach. Let me help them. Let me just make it real plain who Jesus is. And he challenges us by showing us the way he prays. Now, here's the amazing thing. What a coach to have. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who saw the resurrected Jesus and was born again. He had a vision of Jesus resurrected, was born again. Saul became Paul. He did 3 missionary journeys, preaching the gospel, planting churches. He was a spiritual giant. Of the 27 books, you know, the Bible has Old Testament, New Testament. Of the 27 books of the New Testament, 13 of them he wrote. This is a dude that knows something. If we can humble ourselves spiritually before anybody, I believe we can do it with Apostle Paul. And he's saying, look, let me coach you. Let me come alongside of you. Let me get to the main thing. The main thing is who Jesus is in your life. And then he says, this is the way I pray for you. And listen to the voice of the coach this morning. He says in verse 9, now we're going back a little bit. Verse 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. That's powerful in itself. Man, you think Paul would think, man, I can just write a letter and fix this. No, he realizes nothing's fixed unless we pray. It's only by prayer. It's by only involving the Spirit. It's by only going to God. There's no way to get anything from God without going to God. It ain't about knowledge. It ain't about information. It ain't about what class you took. God bless you for all those things. But it's I got to get to God. We got to pray. We got to meet God in prayer. And we're going to do it. And we're going to see this church delivered. Y'all are a light more lively than 9 o'clock and I'm happy. I'm just preaching everything. I didn't have any of this in my notes. Y'all might be in for it though. We might have to order Uber in some lunch. So, I know I love you. All right. And he says, as this day, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Proverbs says, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. Get understanding. Not information. You got to dive into that. It says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing, here it is again, in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience. Man, we need some endurance and patience with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of His sins. Man, that sounds like a prayer. That is an apostolic prayer, man. You can change those words and just pray that over your life. Pray that over your children. Pray that over your children's children. Amen. Paul encouraged them by letting them know that he's praying for them and that they might, or they can walk worthy of the Lord. Paul says, this is my prayer for you, and with God's help, you can do it. Amen? So we get this phrase, walk worthy. Man, what a slogan for believers. You want to just boil it down. Are you walking worthy of the Lord? That's how Paul prayed for the church. That's how Paul would pray for us today. Not did I go to church, did I help you know, the elderly across the road, or did I pay, did I give some money, or no, are you walking worthy? I mean, you think about that, man. I mean, I'm the preacher. I had to read this and study it for a long time. It preached to me too. I'm thinking, man, am I walking worthy of the Lord? And then all I could do is like gulp, like swallow spit. I mean, what about, you know, one day when we leave this earth and there's a tombstone or something, Sergio walked worthy. Man, I don't know a better calling. Man, that just keeps it simple for us, doesn't it? And so Paul takes that and, like any good coach, just breaks it down. And I want to do that. We don't have too much time left. I just want to break these down to you quickly. I encourage you to take some notes. These are the ways that I see that Paul's prayer encourages to walk worthy of the Lord. Number one, it says continually increasing in the knowledge of God. There's no way to grow in God without knowing God. So you need to hear the preached word. Thank you for being here this morning. You need to read the Bible. I know it's difficult sometimes to have that daily discipline or any discipline to read the word of God and let it guide you. But if you want to know somebody, read their story. Read their diary. If I want to know somebody that I never was able to meet and I found their diary, if I really desired to know them, I would read it. It would be the only way that I could get in contact with them. So we have to grow in increase. It said twice there in verse 9 and 10, be filled with the knowledge of God, increasing in the knowledge of God. I mean, here's the thing. Paul is like painting this picture for the believer. Kind of like my wife and I, we have 5 kids. We never, they probably laugh, we never bought their clothes to fit. That's stupid. I mean, if you buy the clothes that fits them now, next week you're going to buy some new clothes. So what do? You buy a few sizes in advance. You think the season ahead, right? Like, this is an investment. And what do? What do you look to your spouse and what do you say? It doesn't matter. It's all right. They're going to grow into it. What Paul is saying in the knowledge of God is like a garment that we could really never grow into, that clothes us, that we are going to pursue and grow and become, and we're going to continue and continue. But we could live 100 lifetimes and never grow into the full knowledge of God. So for us to sit here this morning and to think we know anything about God, we don't have it yet. Man, it is like a garment we put on that's way too big for us. But we're going to seek, we're going to chase, we're going to pursue to know more of God. How do you know more of anybody? Spend more time with them. And the devil, since the Garden of Eden, has been coming against the people of God saying, you need something else. What we need is the knowledge of God. What we need is personal relationship. What we need is we don't need just a pastor or a priest to stand between us and God. We need to meet with God every day of our life. When you meet with God, you know God. That's what Paul's saying. Man, they won't worry about the outward pressures and circumstances when all they look at is Jesus. Most of us spend too many times watching something else, looking at something else, listening to something else, becoming like that instead of spending time with God, becoming like Him. I'm guilty too. I'm as guilty as you. I'm more guilty. The knowledge of God is our stability in this crazy world. That's what Paul is saying. You want stability? Stability? Get to know God. Become like Him. Be anchored in Him. Couple of points here. Here's a pretty awesome thing. Only God can reveal Himself. Meaning, you can't get to know God outside of God revealing Himself to you. I hope the light's going out. Doesn't mean I'm supposed to stop. I'm just thinking that's the Holy Ghost telling me to keep going, Pastor Lance. The knowledge of God involves spiritual wisdom and understanding. We got to involve the Spirit in this thing. Why did Paul pray? He prayed basically, God, they're going through a difficult time. Spirit take over. Spirit break in. Without the Spirit, I mean, that's why Paul is praying, right? Are y'all getting this? Growing in the knowledge of God means we pursue not only information, but more importantly, a relationship with Him. Meaning, I'm reading His Word. I'm going after God, not for information, not so that I can qualify my arguments and fight with somebody over Christmas dinner. I'm going to learn God to get God. I want more of God. I want more relationship. I don't want just information. I want relationship. I want a friendship. That's what Paul's saying. And interesting enough, Jeremiah told us, Jeremiah 29, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. What is your heart running after? You wonder why your heart's sick. Well, you wonder why your heart's broken. You wonder why your heart is full of anxiety and fears. It's only becoming that which you're absorbing. Your heart's just a sponge. And whatever you put it in, it just soaks up. I mean, if you're just baptized and inundated in this political mess and COVID, and then guess what? When you wring it out, that's what political mess and COVID is what's going to come out. And I'm not making a statement here. I'm just saying what we need to do is make sure we're soaking up at least equal amounts of God in the process. Amen? The knowledge of God, though, can never be separated from faithfulness and obedience. How many people I know, man, I need a word from God. Pastor Mike, pray for me. I need to hear from God. I got to have God. I'm like, well, here's my prayer for you. Go back to the last thing he said and make sure you did that. Because you cannot separate knowing God from actually doing, being faithful to the thing He said for you to do before. And then you realize you're just deeper in a mess. And you're thinking, how did I get here? I need God. Well, He tried to keep you out of it last week. Thank you, sir. I thought I was preaching good too. Walking worthy is growing in the knowledge of God. That's Paul's point. Second thing he says, bear fruit. Bear godly fruit. Now, here's the mistake we're going to make with this one. We're going to think we can go out of here and do it in our own strength. No, what he's saying is when you are anchored, when you're tethered, when you're rooted in Christ, then that is the root, and you can't help but bear godly fruit. Meaning, godly fruit will be the evidence that you're rightly rooted in Jesus. That's enough to say about that one. I'll go on to number three. Walking worthy of the Lord means receiving God's strength. Most of us in this world will beat you down. I'm sorry, I keep going over here. My man's encouraging me so much, he's like an encouragement magnet. I'm going over here. Somebody, Gerald, you better start saying something. Most of us are just tired. We're beat down. It's one thing after another. And look, 2020, it's bad. But talk to somebody that's lived a long time. I mean, 2021 ain't going to be much better. I'm sorry to tell you that. That's life. And most of us go around running on empty in our own strength, our own willpower. Hey, we're Americans. We don't need anybody to help us. I'm strong. We forget in the Lord. I can do it. And then we just walk around with our lip poked out. Defeated. Tore up from the floor up. What Paul says is be strengthened. Get this. I mean, this is revelation to me. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Could you imagine doing life tomorrow, showing up at school tomorrow, showing up at the workplace tomorrow? All of a sudden, you're not in your own strength, just relying on too much coffee and caffeine and a few shots of energy. And just saying, I'm here in the strength of God. I'm walking in his strength. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine how that would change things? Paul says, be strengthened. Continually receiving God's strength. Why? So that there's patience and endurance. And all y'all are lying if you don't say you need some more of that. With joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what the enemy's after? He's after your joy. He's after your joy. Why? So you won't endure. So that you'll lose your patience. So you'll throw in the towel. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of this has to do with our perspective. Let me tell you a lot of our problems, including mine. We put too much weight on this world. We expect this broken world to fulfill only what is going to come in the next. When Jesus returns, we hope for heaven. We want heaven on earth. But we don't want to suffer and endure to get it. We just rather it microwaved and heaven show up. And a lot of us believe when he got born again that heaven was here and everything's going to be all right. And whatever pastor told you that was lying. Because you have a devil who wants to take you out. Doesn't want you to make it. Doesn't want your kids to make it. Doesn't want you to make the impact, the difference, that the reason he impacted your life was just not to make you strong so that you could change the world. He just wants you to throw in the towel. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, if we'll realize that we'll put our trust in Jesus and our joy will be derived from what he has done and what he's going to do, if we'll have a perspective about this inheritance that is unfaded, unstained, that's waiting for us, when Jesus returns, bringing a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be united with him in a new body, praise God, I won't need orange theory anymore. I'll have Jesus theory. Man, that's what is going to anchor us. And then this. Walking worthy, he says, look what he says in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. Now, a lot of those, growing into knowledge, bearing fruit, being strengthened with him, seems like it's up to him. But thanksgiving's up to us. It's not always easy to give thanks. But this is the thing we must do in order to seize God's will accomplished in our lives. Thanksgiving has great power to bring joy and break the power of the enemy in our lives. Are you thankful? Being thankful is part of walking worthy. Whenever you give thanks to God, oh, this is good right here. This is for somebody today. Whenever you give thanks to God, despite your circumstance, we worship God instead of the bad situation. Meaning, whatever is coming out of our mouth that's not thanksgiving is worshiping the bad situation. It's basically putting your problem, your mountain, your challenge above God. But when you worship God in spite of that, it brings pleasure to the heart of God, fully pleasing Him. You're saying, you know what, devil, you're not going to get me. Yeah, that's bad, but my God, He's greater. I'm going to thank God. Where would I be right now without His grace, without His mercy? Thanksgiving brings contentment. The enemy does everything he can to sell you something else. Whatever it is. Oh, you got a new car 2 years ago. Well, you need a new car. That TV, Pastor Lance, just too small. You need the 90-inch. 85 ain't going to cut it anymore. The iPhone 12, the 11 and a half isn't good enough anymore. Man, can you just be thankful for what you have? No, the enemy, don't tell me the enemy doesn't come and say you need another spouse. Trade that model in. Heck, we've tried to trade our kids in a few times. Listen, to love God is to love His will. To love God is to love His will. And being settled in that. And you got to be careful about the two C's that challenge Thanksgiving. I'm not talking about the turkey. Being thankful. C of complaining. It will rob you from giving thanks. You would much rather state the obvious and complain about the way things are than just giving thanks for God that you're alive. Got to be careful about complaining. We got to watch our attitude in our mouth. And then the second C is comparison. 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 Listen, don't wish your life away. Don't wish it was somewhere different. Just be thankful for where you are. Be content in that. And when you do, you give incredible praise to God. Now, I want you to watch this as I close. You can come on up. Is Jess still here? She might be asleep. She might be eating lunch. There she is. Now, here's the best news of the day. Because our temptation and our temptations as pastors is just to give us another hoop to jump through, give us something else to do, and all that. Now, Paul clearly prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord. He clearly said, look, growing into God, growing is an action, there's a verb there, right? It's something we can do. We can grow. Bearing fruit, we can do that, right? Being strengthened. And being thankful. Those are things we do. But Paul doesn't leave it at that prayer. He's saying, God, Spirit, empower them to do that. And then he gives us this. This is the best news of the day. When I read this, I did a happy lap. I just got happy and ran around the office. I'm sure I look silly. Verse 12, look at this. Giving thanks to the Father who has... Now he's talking to this baby church, these baby disciples, these ones that were in all kinds of religious mess and just trying to figure it out, just like he is us. He's saying you can walk worthy of God because he has, past tense, has qualified you. You don't qualify yourself by doing good works. You don't qualify yourself by growing in the knowledge of God. This is something Jesus has done. He has qualified you. No matter where you came from, what side of the tracks you grew up, no matter what kind of past you have, if you put your faith in Christ, He has qualified you. See, the good news of the gospel, it's not about what we do, but it's about what Jesus has done. He has qualified us. Listen to this language. He has qualified us to share in this inheritance of the saints. Meaning, you're going to get your share. That means Whatever spiritual giant. We talked about Paul. If you think of Billy Graham, if you think of T.D. Jakes, I don't know who it is in your life. Maybe a grandmother, grandfather, whoever. You are qualified just like they are. Whatever Abraham got, I get. Whatever Paul got, I get. Not because of who I am or what I do, but what he has done. He has qualified you. Look at verse 13. He has delivered us. We are delivered. We are set free from the domain of darkness. Now, Paul doesn't deny that there is a domain of darkness. And I'm telling you, you better understand, there is a domain of darkness. But if you're in Christ, no longer are you in the domain of darkness. You're in a domain of light. He has delivered you. And he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. These are things that Jesus has done. Qualified you. Delivered you. Transferred you. And because what Jesus has done, we can live a life worthy of God. Can we give him praise? I encourage you. Sundays come around with great regularity. They will be here next week. But what I encourage you is, will you spend time in Colossians? I mean, come on, guys. I can read chapter 1 in about 3, 4, 5 minutes. Could you give him 5 minutes and just say, God, I know Pastor Mike spoke to me, though I heard Coach Paul speak to me, but God, I want you to speak to me. Could you just spend time maybe reading Colossians 1, and then maybe before you get here next week, you read Colossians 2. I think Pastor Richards is going to pick up right where I left off. Can you do that? Nobody's committing. All right. Y'all smart. Sarah, can you do that? Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. Pastor Lance, y'all can come on up. I have fun today. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for receiving the word. Before I pray for you, I didn't do it this service, but I couldn't honor your leaders enough. Pastor Lance and Deanna and this team, it's incredible. It's an incredible team. Thank God that you have an incredible group of pastors and spiritual leaders who aren't perfect. He's not perfect. He's not perfect. He was perfect the night they did beat us in that football game. I'm still trying to forgive him. But, man, God has given you some great leaders. Lean in. Lean into this church. Vince on the campus, Vince and Miranda do an amazing job. Amen. I want to pray for you. Is that all right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you. In this word, you tell us that you're praying for us to walk worthy of the Lord. God, we say that in our own strength, we can't do it. But we can do it because you did it. Today, God, let us be ever eager to grow in the knowledge of God, ever increasing, to grow into that those clothes, the knowledge of God. Let us bear fruit because we're rooted in Christ. Help us, God. We need endurance and patience. It's challenging times, difficult days. God, let us not be strengthened in our own might, but be strengthened by the might, by the strength that you provide. God, let us tap into a reserve fuel tank, so to speak. When ours is empty, let us draw from a reserve. Paul encourages, be strengthened with the power of God. And God, let us help us. Help us. Let us just be contagious with thanksgiving. When we're tempted to complain, let us just say, thank God. God, you're good. God, we know that only we can do it because Jesus did it. We're qualified, delivered, transferred into the kingdom of light. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yes. We worship you, God. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name.